From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Ally Primetime, right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Today's date is Thursday, November the 15th, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh was a bit warm today with highs hitting 80 degrees under hazy skies. In fact, when I came out of my office at around 9 o'clock p.m. this evening, I was actually taken aback by just how warm the evening really was. However, at just after 2 o'clock in the morning now, local time, the temperature is sitting at around 67 degrees, and we are heading down to 62 degrees in the hour before sunrise, which, with the recent time change in the United States, sunrise will not really be that far removed from the time when the show ends, which is going to be 4 p.m. or 4 in the morning local. Sunrise locally here is going to be at 6:10 in the morning. So I've got like 2 hours and 10 minutes before sunrise to try to get to sleep here. Winds this evening have been pretty light at around 8 miles per hour out of the west-southwest. You know, the ongoing war, you know, one of the themes we've been talking about a lot here is this ongoing war between or by social media and the Jewish-owned press against the American people. And that war continued unabated this week as PayPal took aim at an upstart competitor to YouTube, that being the video streaming service known as BitChute. It is a site where I also have an account for Inside the Eye Live. Now, in a company announcement placed on BitChute's blog, company CEO and founder Ray Vahey had some of these things to say. He said the notice included the following information. The user agreement for PayPal states that PayPal, at its sole discretion, reserves the right to limit an account for any violation of the user agreement, including the acceptable use policy. And then he went on to say that BitChute has had this PayPal account since 2016, that it was used to settle payments and to receive subscription payments from its supporters and donors. And also, of course, that would be those discretionary payments or donations or sponsorships, whatever you want to call it. And the president and the CEO, actually he's the CEO, he said, it's our belief that it is our stand against the current trend in censorship that has resulted in this action. And I would have to hazard a guess that it is absolutely true. We are in a situation right now where Jewish media, the ADL, Jewish NGOs, some of their paid parrots inside of the social, not inside social media, inside of government, are calling for time and time again for everybody who is not hoeing and towing this Jewish one world order line to essentially be banned from the internet, to be banned from speaking, to not be allowed to even access the ability to reach out to the world today. Of course, all of this is a violation of our human rights. These human rights are established by the United Nations, actually in our U.S. Constitution. And these are issues that we're going to have to continue to really deal with. I personally believe that websites like Facebook, like Twitter, like YouTube, like Google, these need to be dealt with in a very harsh way. I'm talking about a scorched earth way, complete destruction of these companies, breaking them apart into small pieces so that they are never, ever again allowed to impinge upon our freedoms. BitChute is, of course, a free expression site. And, of course, they are mentioned that this is a universal right also. Furthermore, they went on to say, Mr. Vahey went on to say that censorship and deplatforming are poor ways to tackle societal problems as they merely create echo chambers that can lead to bigger problems in the long run. It's important to platform all ideas as this exposes them to immediate opposition and allows for a public deconstruction of any flaws they may contain. If you are against bigotry or racism or hateful ideologies, you should be pro free expression. And that's a very key point here, is that if you really do believe if you believe, as this guy says here, that ideas should be open and free, and that somehow if you're against bigotry or racism or hateful ideologies, that you should be pro-free expression. And that's absolutely true, because what we have learned here is that we are able, as nationalists, as Americans, as Europeans, we are much, much more sophisticated, I should say. We are much more educated. We are much more conceptually endowed, to where we are able to break through the Jewish media almost instantly in virtually every case. And as such, we are able to deconstruct much of the BS that has been sold to us by the dominant media platforms. And the only reason why there is a complete censorship, a complete ghoulish effort to track down and eliminate everybody that has an opposing view to Jewish ideas, is because Jewish ideas at their heart and their core are not able to stand up to logic. They are not able to stand up to reason. Their ideas are counter to our national interests, and that goes across the Western Hemisphere. There is absolutely no way you can convince any sound, rational thinking person that flooding your country with tens of thousands and millions of people that are unskilled, incapable of even some of the most basic skills, and that includes using a toilet, folks, includes using a toilet, that somehow you are going to broaden the success and viability of your nation. I was wondering sometimes, you know, because I've been kind of vocal against the immigration issues, and of course going to school and having to deal with a lot of my friends that actually weren't quote unquote white. From Mexican heritage, Vietnamese heritage, others. Not that there were a lot. We were still a fairly European country at the time, but I was in Southern California, and it wasn't like there wasn't any folks. There were a lot of people of Mexican-American heritage that were very well integrated, very well spoken in English, very intelligent, very productive towards our nation and our people. We could classify them in many respects as true Americans. And I just can't imagine, and I would hope that the message I put out there as people review what I say, I would hope that these people, as we speak about the immigration issues here in America, that we do have all of our American interests at heart here. I see the stories of the families with their children, their grandchildren, the happy times they have. I would certainly hate to see anything happen to these people, and they're not necessarily quote-unquote white Americans, because I'm not a white nationalist per se. I am a nationalist, and by default, in a white nation, you will default to being obviously a nationalist predominantly white. But I'm a nationalist, and I would really hate to think that the people out there that have known me all of these years would somehow think that I have gone off the edge because of the way I have been focusing lately on the immigration issues and some of these racially sensitive, not to us, it's not sensitive, it's just common sense to us, quite frankly. But I would really hate to think that these people have lost some confidence in what I am doing relative to the larger scheme, that somehow I have turned, that somehow I have become less tolerant of the greater part that is America. That would be very far from the case. In fact, quite honestly, folks, believe it or not, I actually think now about some of my old friends going back all the way to high school and before even, who have wonderful families, the great American traditional life, you know, as we might have experienced it 40, 50 years ago. And when I see this like caravan, this massive invasion coming towards the southern borders and where all of my friends live, because I am from Los Angeles, I have so many friends still in the southwest part of the nation. I would really hate to think that something happened to these people And these people were not supporting me for speaking up about trying to create the political conditions that allow all of us to push back against this Jewish conspiracy to destroy the United States of America and Western civilization at large. I would just want to throw that out there as we get started today. You know, one of the issues I brought up about the social media issues is because I really do believe that social media companies, and it's something that we should think about ruthlessly. I'm talking about ruthlessly, folks, is the utter destruction of these companies as viable operating companies. They are arrogant. They are filled with stupid people. We are being droned under by really a literal sea of incompetence and idiocy. And quite frankly, you cannot, again, as nationalists, we cannot build a solid nation when we are not even allowed to speak within ourselves and about ourselves and not, and basically and to raise issues that are important to us. Just this week, I had my second, Twitter account was suspended. And the comments, the reasons I get are literally out of sheer left field lunacy. We are not dealing with ethical, decent, honest people here. We are dealing with trash, some of the trash of our society being given jobs to essentially suppress and oppress the American people. They put here, your account has been suspended and will not be restored because it was found to be violating the Twitter terms of service. And then they said specifically, the Twitter rules against managing multiple Twitter accounts for abusive purposes. Well, first of all, screw you guys. Again, who are these people to just make these allegations and charges and then destroy our ability to speak online in a major field, in a major Cume audience? This is a public company. It is using the public internet. It is using U.S. technology. It has a market position. It is essentially a monopoly by and large, the same as PayPal, the same as Facebook. And these companies should, again, be reined in for abusing their market positions here. They know they're the only game essentially in town. And even if you go build your own platform like a Gab, PayPal has denied Gab their right to raise money through PayPal. Again, these are abusive tactics by the Jewish community to shut down any viable competitor to their monopoly. These are antitrust issues. These are RICO issues. These are clearly being coordinated in some cases by these media platforms. They should be ruthlessly, ruthlessly destroyed. And I am talking about ruthless, folks. I'm talking about gutting them as operational companies, dividing them up into literally hundreds, if not thousands of itty-bitty pieces to where that we can take all of this suppressive garbage that has now been able to make good money sitting there essentially lording over us. They should be wiped out as far as a viable economic ability here. There is no reason why we in the nationalist community should stand for this. It should be an issue that we should be raising more and more often. And we have to understand we are at war. And in many cases, we're even behind enemy lines. Literally, we, even in our own countries, are behind enemy lines. You have to be so careful how you speak, what you say. It is very tedious to get your point across. We have to understand that there are thousands upon thousands of these LGBTQP Jewish type of agents operating all over the net that do nothing but monitor the internet. Imagine, we are wasting billions upon billions of dollars in non-productive idiots that just sit there and monitor our efforts and everybody else's efforts and then destroy wholesale communities wholesale just because they don't like something that is being done inside of a community. This is, again, market abuse. It is an antitrust issue. They are collectively punishing everybody in a community. A lot of these communities like PayPal and Facebook and Twitter and Google and Apple are going after, a lot of these they're going after whole communities now. They're not content with just going after an individual. They're going after Gab entirely. 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 people. It's not a big community. It doesn't have a lot of volume. It doesn't have a lot of velocity in the posting. Perhaps I need to follow more people. But as far as the quality of the volume, it's just not at a Twitter level yet. It's a bootstrapped operation. BitStream is the same thing. You put something up on BitChute, I should say, and you're lucky to get 40, 50, 60 hits on it. But at least we have a viable option. But see, not even a 40, 50, 60 average website where you're getting 40, 50, 60 average views, not even that's acceptable to the Jewish community now. Again, all of these companies, folks, are Jewish operated. They're not American operated. They're Jewish operated. There's a huge difference. The Jewish people don't care about Americans and America. They care about what's good for Jews. That's the issue at stake here inside of this larger debate. And that key area is why we see so much censorship. Really, as far as I can see, the whole censorship issue really boils down to one thing. Jews don't want to get exposed. And they know that the internet is the most effective and dangerous tool out there to expose their treasonous activity, their anti-Western activity within our nations. These people, when you talk about the media, is an enemy of the American people. So too are PayPal. So too are Facebook. So too are the people behind Twitter. These people are enemies of the American people and should be dealt with really accordingly, obviously within the law. But that means that if we can rise to the point and destroy these people, that should be done. And the shareholders be damned. Quite frankly, the shareholders be damned. They should have gone out of the way and ensured that these companies did not suppress and oppress the American people and the people of the West indefinitely, as is happening now. And it's more complicated than that, because within this great echo chamber called Jewish media, there are lots of personalities out there who are speaking openly about social media, but that the social media companies aren't suppressing and oppressing people enough, but they do it under masked and clouded speech, under this mystification of speech. An example this week was Prince William. He's the Duke of Cambridge. I believe he's the youngest grandson or something of Queen Elizabeth, something like that. But he was up there slamming social media giants for their inability to protect children from cyberbullying. Well, first of all, children, if they're children, parents should be keeping their kids off of social media as much as possible. It's just like we kept our kid away from TV. Keep them away from these issues. Fill them with other activities. Why are you exposing them to this type of behavior to begin with? Now, Prince William there's a cyberbullying task force campaign. Now, basically, the cyberbullying task force, these came about because of the utter garbage of people like Weave Arnheimer. He was one of the originators of this garbage mentality. And understand that our generation and the younger, I'm talking about 50s, okay? Our generation, we didn't really tolerate the bullying so much. It was something that was part of growing up, but it wasn't to the point to where it was out of hand. We kept it in check within ourselves. It happened, yes. But there was also this idea of honor that if you went overboard, hey, you could get into a fight somewhere and nobody was going to say a thing about it. Yeah, there'd be a big fight. Maybe someone would help that person who's getting bullied even. Things like that happen. But once you got the internet, the cowards like an Arnheimer and people of his ilk, and now understand that the culture, the subculture of trolling, of bullying, of cyber stalking, of cyber harassment, that whole culture was far larger than people understand. And I was just at the forefront of it with one of the biggest bullies and idiots of them all. And now he's over at the Daily Stormer running their show there. But this guy was a complete loon, a complete loser. And I'm sure he remains so to this day. That culture that these people fostered was huge. Now, when we go into our society today, basically we have hundreds and tens of thousands, perhaps, of this type of loser, loner, idiotic troll manning computers, watching what we say 24/7, helping out with their quote-unquote their genius skills to create artificial intelligence to track certain things. See, the whole thing is this low-level subhuman, because that's what my experience with these people are. These were people that weren't even human. These were literally gutter type of trash. And what they've done is they've risen into the positions of power. They're at Huffington Post. They're at Vox.com. They're at probably, well, we know for sure they're at the New York Times. For sure, we know that with this Korean lady, Sarah Jeong. They're all over the place. And they're within the right wing, if you want to call it the right wing. They're within the white nationalist groups. They're there also. But they're also inside of the positions of power now. Inside of Facebook, tens of thousands of these people have been hired. They are inside of Twitter. Who knows how many thousands of people Twitter has hired. Folks, we are literally being suffocated under the weight of a mass of social delusion and idiocy. And it's so hard to grasp just how bad it perhaps really is. But it is bad. Now, Prince William is talking about the cyberbullying, and it's all about children. But he goes on and accuses Facebook and Twitter and, you know, other media platforms, Snapchat, YouTube, of failing to combat the ongoing bullying some children were subject to on their platforms. Well, if I'm a parent, keep them off. But that's not all. He blasted social media outlets for failing to take responsibility for the role the platforms have in spreading hate speech. And of course, now when we get into that definition, what he's saying is that he is taking issue with the fact that social media platforms are not suppressing the Western citizens of this world enough in favor of Jewish interests. That's all that this says, that they are not doing enough. And as if they're not already becoming so tyrannical that they're almost unbearable. But they're not doing enough to literally serve Jewish interests. He quotes here, I quote him here, "What I found very quickly, though, is that the sector did not want to own this issue." And here he was talking about the hateful rhetoric targeting children online. Well, that hateful rhetoric is just part of Jewish culture, quite frankly. It is part of the way they think. They don't have any manners. They don't have any ethics. They don't have any couth. They don't have any class. That's how I would view that. He carried on. He said, "We have seen that the technology that can allow you to develop an online community around a shared hobby or interest can also be used to organize violence. The platform that can allow you to celebrate diversity can also be used to cocoon yourself in a cultural and political echo chamber. The new ways we have to access news from the crossroad are also allowing misinformation and conspiracy to pollute the public sphere." But what he did not say, and he should have said openly, was that it is the very controllers of this media that are engaged in spreading intolerance. It is the very companies like Twitter and Facebook and Apple and Google who are promoting this false, fake historical narrative that we keep being, that we keep having pushed upon us literally day in and day out. It just never seems to stop. He forgot to mention that it is basically every single Jewish media organ out there that is allowing misinformation and conspiracies to pollute the public sphere. And it's actually we who are a part of this larger social experiment here who are engaging in shredding these conspiracies that have been brought about by the Jewish community. And it is we who continue to be targeted. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live prime time for Thursday, November 15th. Everybody back with more right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch Inside the Ally Primetime, November the 15th, 2018, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. If you're like me in Saudi, it's like 2:32 in the morning. I really don't like this change of time. I don't mind the 1 to 3 time, but the 2 to 4 time is actually kind of tough. It's a difficult time slot, so I'm not all that keen on a 2 to 4 time slot. But, hey, it works sometimes. Yeah, telephone lines are open, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Taking advantage of that telephone line is Frank out in North Carolina. Frank, hi. Welcome to Inside the Ally Primetime.
Well, hi, Dutch.
Hello.
That guy's an a-hole, you know?
The what?
That guy's an a-hole. That guy Frank that calls into your show.
Yeah, I hear bad things about the guy. But how you doing?
You know, I'm doing okay.
By the way, there hasn't been any complaints about you in a while, so it's been okay. Maybe they'll come in today because we made an issue of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I must be doing something wrong then.
Yeah.
You know, listening to some of the bumper. The creative bumper, what do you call it when you put a bunch of, like a montage of different movie clips and stuff like that? I don't know if you ever hear those, but.
Okay.
You know, they're supposed to be like inspiring, you know, inspiring to stand up for yourself and, you know.
You're talking about here at the station?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't actually hear them. It's not that I'm spared it. It's just that the technology is such that in order for us to take the phone calls, we typically have to like really set things properly. And otherwise we have to let it go. And then I have a timer or something I work with here. So I know when the breaks end and don't end. And then I don't hear them. So go ahead. I don't know what they are. I actually don't know.
Well, that's kind of what I figured. That's why I asked, but a lot of people would just assume that you probably know them by heart, and, you know.
Yeah,
but,
actually,
they're pretty creative, and some of them are recognizable, and some of them aren't. It depending on you know how many movies and you know whatever you've seen over the years. But
yeah, I've noticed a change though. I have heard a few, Frank, and I've noticed a change in the kind of like the editorial tone. It's taken on a little bit more of a militant tone than it did. Say 3-4 years ago, having been here a while.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's my opinion.
Because, yeah, I know. And you're such a nice guy, Fetch. You know, you are, but still you're tolerable. You're very nice. And see, I am too. A lot of people probably wouldn't believe that, but I've always considered my main problem was I've always been too nice. I'm always looking out for the other guy, And you know, because I like to see things run right. I like fairness. I like to see.
Correct. And I'm not
people abandon what they deserve.
Yeah, I'm not going to be abandoning that. But I think right now it's very difficult. We're so far behind enemy lines now that it's a challenge at my level. It's actually become a challenge to try to operate.
And the enemy, I mean, you know, they just don't play. I mean, even if you just want to get into Democrat, Republican, and I mean, I go, you know. I don't have any sense of loyalty to, you know, anything calling itself Republican or anything, even though I've been a registered Republican since the early 90s. But I voted independently from time to time. I also made a lot of stupid votes based on ignorance early on, voting Republican just because, you know, I was Republican and conservative. But the thing is, though, I mean, these people don't play by the rules. The Democrats will openly steal elections. They have no qualms about that. They have no qualms about registering illegal aliens to vote.
Yes, it's
and neutralize.
This is maddening because nobody's doing anything about it.
Okay, well, this is what I called in about.
Okay, go ahead. Because
I know you're a nice guy, and I know that I'm a nice guy, and I know that you have a lot of you know nice people in your audience, but you know it's something. I mean, I've been hearing that bumper for a while now on there, but, you know, the Revolution Radio bumper and that montage, if I'm using the correct term there, a lot of different clips. There's one clip where the guy says, you've got to get mad dog mean. I've been in situations like that in my life. I know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're facing an overwhelming odds and there's no way out, you probably aren't going to make it out anyway. But if you've even got a chance, you're just going to have to get mad dog mean and see the enemy as the enemy and take them on. And that's what it would take. I don't think we're going to do it. I think America's going to break down and it's going to,
disintegrate?
There's a term. Well,
break up, disintegrate, implode.
Yeah. It's going to, we're it's going to break up into different sections and different, tribes and, there's a term, a commonly used term, but anyway, don't think, vulcanization and, every now and then I have to go look that term up and kind of refamiliarize myself with that term, but, something along those lines. And it's just not going to be good. It's not going to be good by American standards, by what we grew up with, what we thought of as the traditional America, a little bit of fairness, mixed in with a little bit of, reality, everything. It can't always be fair, but, those days are over. Those days are just over. And I'm like, I don't hate people because they're from some other part of the country, or because they're from some other part of the world. I don't hate them because they have light brown skin or dark brown skin. But at some point, you have to realize, you look around, one of the reasons I think that we cannot create a front against this Jewish Talmudic tyranny that is ruling over us is because we are so diverse. And they always say diversity is our greatest strength. Well, they're making a truthful, honest statement. They really mean that. Diversity is their greatest strength. That's one of their weapons. It's weaponized. That's not to say that in normal, organic terms, if people wanted to cooperate from different cultures and whatnot, that that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm not making that argument. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they've done this artificially to weaken us. Now we can't, because we're so diverse. And every group is out for their own little interests, which is, largely manipulated by organized Jewry as well. We can't put together a front to even take on our oppressors. You see what I'm saying? So really, diversity is our enemy. And, that comes off as being racist and, you're a white supremacist. I mean, I don't care what it comes off as, but, I mean, it's part of the problem.
It's the primary problem, because as you say, it's the one. Demographics is literally everything in politics. And since as you mentioned earlier, the Democrats don't really have the demographics, so they're basically stealing the elections to keep this train going. I mean, they don't have the vote, so they keep stealing everything. And I tell you what, if I were in a position of power, I would be ruthless, because I view this as treason. I view it as a coup d'etat. It's a coup d'etat. This isn't election fraud. No, it's a coup d'etat. This is an attempt to take over the government through a soft means, using basically internal agents. It's a coup d'etat. There is no other thing to call this. It's just a coup d'etat. It's no different than sending your military in and taking over the country with your military. There's no difference. You're still taking over the country against the will of the people.
Registering illegal aliens, when you have authorities, people in positions of authority or officialdom, even within election boards and whatnot, and they're knowingly registering, or people at DMVs or whatever, knowingly registering illegal aliens to vote, that's an act of war,
as
far as I'm concerned.
Because you are allowing in an illegal invading force. So, yes, it is.
And you're taking away the sacred right of an American citizen to vote.
That's correct.
For their vote to mean anything.
That's correct. That's the issue here. That's what this Trump phenomenon was initially all about, is this issue, and it absolutely has to be kept at the forefront. I mean, now you've got this caravan. They've been bussed in, organized in. The United Nations is helping. Okay, that means we're funding it. Americans are funding it. American NGOs are funding this. So basically, we have our own internal fifth column enemies helping to invade our country. And this to me is war, like you said. We are at war right now. It's a demographic war, but it's a war. And perhaps all wars are demographic at the end.
I've heard the quote, demographics are destiny. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why the Israeli state, the Jewish state, focuses so much on demographics, doing whatever they can to genocide as many Palestinians as they can so they can keep their Jewish majority. And then bring as many, making aliyah to also keep the numbers up. That's what all of what's going on in Israel is all about, is killing as many people as you can, you know, legally, in their terms, and just to keep the demographics in play for the Jewish state. Otherwise, there's no Jewish state. And they know that.
All right, Fetch. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Frank. That's Frank, everybody out in North Carolina. You know, I heard, by the way, for the Marines out there, you've got an aircraft called an EA-6B Prowler, and it's an electronic weapons platform. It goes all the way back to the 70s. It's like 45 years old now. The very last squadron of the EA-6Bs are going to be retired basically this year, start of 2019. They're being flown back to their base in North Carolina. And the only reason, one of the main reasons that this plane is being dropped, one, it's an older technology, although it can be upgraded, but because, quite frankly, one of the main reasons, they don't have staff who can actually fix it. Basically, they need computers nowadays to be able to tell that person debugging the aircraft what to actually do to fix the aircraft. So there's nobody even alive anymore within the Air Force, not the Air Force, but the Marines or the Navy, capable of actually fixing that aircraft. And consequently, they're actually having to drop the squadron and retire it. So that's kind of a fun little story. And they're making their way back to North Carolina. This is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations, again, to help keep the network alive, up and running. Again, we really do need a platform to operate from. Without a platform, we don't have Inside the Eye Life, for sure. And I do get a lot of emails from everybody saying that you have donated, saying you're not happy, you wish you got thanked, and all these issues. I can't help you on that issue, but we still thank you for whenever you do help donate to the station and help keep the network alive, up and running, because without it, I don't have Inside the Eye Live as it stands today, that's for sure. So definitely keep that up. The ITIL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by Friends of Grism.blogspot.com. And for all your IT needs, of course, give us a call or give us an email at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com, and we'll set you up. And I know our guy works on some of the top websites out there, and he likes the show, so he actually works here and helps behind the scenes from time to time. Actually, when we did the cutover, he was very busy. He's quite tricky at how he does some of his coding on the backside. So if you need some work, give us a call at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. Now, I was talking to Zap Hopper because it's friends of grism.blogspot.com, see? And what happens is that we ask you to donate over at Grism's to help keep that thing up. Now, if you're familiar with Grism's, a lot of you, we know a decent amount of you, a fair amount of you. You basically came to The Fetch through Grism. You were looking for something else, and you saw this saying, The Fetch, what's this Inside the Eye Live thing? And you started to tune in, and then it got a little bit complicated, and you said, wow, I don't think this show is for me. It's a little bit complicated. And then you gave it a couple more tries, and pretty soon, the next thing you know, you were listening to Inside the Eye Live. And that was all due to Grism.blogspot and Zap Hopper. Zap Hopper is a guy that does a lot of work behind the scenes. Really one of the tireless, unsung heroes of the podcast of this genre. And his efforts go all the way back to 2012, about a year after we started Inside the Eye Live. So he's been doing this a really long time. And what happened, we had a story recently where he actually... he pays for his hosting to do all of these shows because he just has to pay. Everywhere else he's been deplatformed from the free stuff. So he pays, and he had a situation last month where his PayPal account was empty. And so what he did is he went out, he took his credit card out, and he went and paid for the hosting through his credit card. And then a donation came in like while this transaction was going on, enough to cover for the hosting. And then they billed him for the hosting on PayPal and his credit card. And that all got, that actually did get straightened out. It did get straightened out, but that happens, everybody. You know, there was a case, we were down 2-3-4 days, and that's because there was no money to host the sites. And so there was no reason to post anything because you couldn't get the site to actually go up and on the hosting company. So folks, when you wonder what's going on, it does cost money. And Zap Hopper is one of the key guys here, so keep him in mind. Buy him a cup of coffee. I do know that some of you send him emails and say, hey, we donated, Fetch reminded us, and keep that up. It's always good. Of course, you can donate here too, but keep that up. So the ITEL Cat Report, not a whole lot to report, quite honestly. Again, it's been a week where I've been so busy. This year has been insanely busy for me. Much more than usual. So I have almost no time for myself, to be honest with you. But calling home the other day, I got to see Spikers. Spikers is essentially just something. He just sleeps with the girls every night now. They shut the door and he gets to sleep with the girls. My two long-term cats, Bruiser and One Eye, they're always stuck outside. And they're like trying to sniff through the door, get through the door to get at Spikers. But they're just not allowed in. But had a case where they did get in, chase Spikers around the house, the poor guy. But he's just something. He just hangs with it. He's not going anywhere. He knows it's a good deal. Spikers is not liked by now all the outdoor cats. So whenever he goes outside, he basically is chased up into the tree still. So that's kind of a bad thing. But I'm going to probably get home now before Christmas. It looks like I'll be home before Christmas for a couple well-deserved and needed two to three-week vacation here. And I'll be having fun with the cats then. I'll be definitely get you a little bit better cat report, that's for sure. But that's the ITEL Cat Report, again, brought to you by friends of grism.blogspot.com. Let's see. I think I clicked that thing off by accident. It's late, everybody. It's late. Everything's going good, though. I can't complain. We've had a really couple good weeks, couple good runs. We've had some great meetings. No money yet, everybody. No money, but some really great weeks, and that's a good thing. So who knows? You got to keep trying, right? Everybody got to keep trying. Just want to say thanks also to the donations that have come in. I just finished spending about $200-some-odd on some software I need for some of my private, it's kind of private business here, but obviously I need to be making money to be able to continue to do the show. So this was invested in some web properties and web information. I can also use it for Inside the Eye Live, but I'm without the donations, of course, I could have done it. But I really want to thank everybody for all the donations that have come in as of late, because, again, we used a good chunk of what we had. We're still okay. We can cover expenses for the next 6 months or so. But we want to thank everybody. Really, it's been so darn helpful the past year and a half, 2 years. So thanks again for everybody, for all of your assistance in helping out Inside the Eye Live.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on Boyum Pierce.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And we just want to remind you that the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show again has a new show every day of the year. That's right, a new show every... Oh, my touch screen's broken. Ah, I still haven't fixed my laptop. That's an expensive fix, guys. That hasn't been fixed yet. Hopefully the part's going to arrive in a week or two. Here I am, like you said, it's a touch screen. I'm like trying to like blow it up so I can read it. But the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show again. Synagogue of Satan and updated expanded and uncensored again is the sponsor of this little segment here. And again, new show every day of the year. And you can check out his shows, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, again at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. This week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from where it usually comes to us, and that's Britain, which has become really a hot spot of anti-Western behavior by the Jewish community. And what happened was there was this guy, the judge in this course, there's a guy by the name of Joseph Brogan. He is 27 years old. Get this. He's going to be spending 6 months behind bars for what they are calling a racially aggravated threatening behavior. What was it? He gave a Roman salute. That's right. Because he gave a Roman salute, he is being put under behind bars for 6 months simply for giving a Roman salute. Now, let me ask you guys, is that really fair that somebody gives a salute, even in jest or not, and they have to spend 6 months in jail because Jews are, quote unquote, offended? Now, he was attending a rally. It was an anti-Jewish rally. Well, in the West, we have something called a freedom of association. And if you want to associate around people that don't like the way Jewish people are running our countries, well, by gosh darn, you should be able to do that. Jews should not be in a position to where they should dictate to us who we can and can't associate with when they're the ones who are making all of the decisions that affect all of us. Now, Brogan initially said he had no recollection of making this Roman-German salute, not National Socialist German salute, as he was escorted away from the rally by security guards, one of whom had lost his family in the Holocaust. Well, that's a bunch of crap, and we all know it. So basically, he's being arrested by a Jew on British soil. You guys get that? Jews are arresting people on foreign soil because they don't like what is being done politically. Now, can you tell me how this can end out well? Because you give somebody an inch, they're going to take a mile. You give them a mile, they're going to take 6 miles. You give them 6 miles, they're going to take 6 million miles. That's how the Jewish that's how it rolls in Jewish land. Can you imagine? He says it was in the heat of the moment. So he's going to have to spend 6 months in jail because some Jewish security guard arrests him for something that he does at the spur of the moment. And that's a 6 month jailable offense in the Jewish controlled lands. Are you going to try to tell me that this doesn't have some serious implications for the West? But here's the thing for the Jewish community. There's always a backlash. There's always a backlash. For us, waving the Jewish flag, it's offensive. It should be an arrestable offense. It's offensive. You're basically spreading hate. Wearing a yarmulke inside of our towns is offensive. See, you could now take the logic that Jews are applying here and basically make it go ad infinitum into insanity, and everything a Jewish person does should be offensive, and you can arrest them and put them in jail for 6 months. You wear a yarmulke? Dude, that's racist. That's offensive to us. See, you could make the case, folks, because that's all Jews are doing right now. Think about it. They're just making the case. I may have more on this because I feel like I'm getting into rant mode here. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the Eye Live. Prime time, November 15th. Back with more right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Fetch, inside the Eye Live. Prime time, Thursday. November 15th. It's like 3 in the morning here. Man, it's 3 in the morning in Riyadh, everybody. Yeah, it's kind of a warm night, though. They say it's in the 60s, but I feel as if it's hotter than that. And the problem here is I got a couple mosquitoes that made their way into my house here. And they are tiny. You can barely see them, but they leave these massive welts. And I really, really don't like Saudi mosquitoes. They are just something, man. And if you rub it at all, it gets really bad. So you got to like just grin and bear it. And it'll slowly dissipate and kind of like break away and things like that. It's just difficult. I don't like them. You know, back to this story going out of the UK. You know, imagine this, folks. You have to imagine what's going on here inside of our own countries. First of all, you got some Jewish guy. You got what's being called here an anti-Semitism. But basically, it's something that runs counter to Jewish ideas. When you break it down, let's be honest. What this is that a rally. They don't like Jewish policies. They think Jewish policies suck, to use a not-so-coy language there. And Jewish policies do suck. We would not be in the problems we are in now if it weren't for Jews and their policies. I mean, that's just a fact, folks. I mean, you got to look at reality as it is. So here's a rally. It's supposed to be an anti-Semitism rally, but it's a counter-Jewish rally at the end of the day. Jews will sell it as one thing. We sell it as another. And the guy throws up a National Socialist salute. And this judge, his name is Judge Martin Rudland, described it as, quoting here, an extremely provocative gesture in front of a peaceful demonstration, and that it was something the court must view as extremely serious. Well, my question here, and again, why is this court upholding a minority view that most people don't care about, quite frankly? Why is he doing that? What he's basically saying to all British people here is that Jews are so far above any type of criticism or above any type of negative rendition that it's essentially a jailable offense. The message the Jewish community is telling the British people is something that's very dark and very sinister, because the Jewish community is telling the British people that they are here to rule over and lord over the British people themselves. The judge went on to say this, and it's ludicrous, the insanity of what goes on inside of the UK right now. He said, "You didn't just simply express your feelings against the rally. This was deliberately provocative behavior, and it was outrageous." Well, big deal, dude. It was just a momentary thing in the grand spectrum of the universe here. And you guys are playing this out into destroying somebody's life, putting them away for 6 months for something like that. Do you want to hear what is outrageous? Jews thinking they can get away with this forever. That's what's outrageous. That's provocative behavior, folks. Imagine you now. I mean, let me finish the quote. He says, "The public must see that the courts take it seriously." Well, it's not that the public must see that the courts take it seriously, because now what you're saying is the courts are literally imposing a type of tyranny on the Jewish people or on the British people. And then it says here, "And that others who are tempted to behave in this way, this is something that will not be brushed away." Well, how could you not listen to this guy and say this guy's an enemy of the British people? Literally an enemy of the British people. He is serving a Talmudic, tyrannical Jewish interest here. And he's creating precedents that add and fuel to the idea that Jews simply cannot be tolerated. How can you tolerate something like that on your own soil? Think about it. Because Jews are just saying, we are your enemy, folks. If you don't do what we tell you and behave as we tell you, we will throw you in jail. Well, how can you look at this type of behavior from the Jewish community and see this as a rational, logical thing to be doing? Now, this guy said that he thought he had freedom of speech. Jews are saying now you don't have freedom of speech. I'm just wondering, from the Jewish community, is that the message you want to send people? That there's no such thing as freedom of speech when it comes to the Jewish people? That basically you're above the law? And you create the law, and you will harass, and you will stalk, and you will destroy anybody that you want just because you are the law? See, that's a dangerous precedent. Because now, quite frankly, you're just creating a situation where just control means you can do what you want. We've always been against that, quite frankly, from an egalitarian point of view. I'm not saying it's always been pragmatically that way. Let's be honest. The U.S. military has been brought out to do some pretty nasty things on American soil over the past century and a half. But the precedent is now set. If you don't like a Jewish guy walking out in some provocative clothes because you find it racially insensitive, you have every right, once you create the consensus, to arrest that Jewish person, and it's perfectly fine. Anytime you see a Jewish guy out there in a provocative yarmulke, because I find this very racist, you have that right then. It's just consensus, folks. What you aren't doing is you're not ruling by common sense. You're not ruling by fairness. You're ruling through tyranny. You're ruling through consensus tyranny and acquiescence of the people, which means that if you have a quote-unquote white nationalist that could come to power and they were out to destroy anything and everything Jewish, they're actually in their right. They're in their right. There's nothing wrong with it when you look at things like this, because Jews are setting the precedence of the rules that will be played, not the people that are going to be backlashing against this. Be clear in this. For me, if you wave an Israeli flag, that's racially provocative. That's outrageous conduct. See, You can play the indignation game just as well as they can. And sometimes I'm thinking, not because we want to be idiots like the Jewish community. They actually believe this crap. But I'm saying there's no reason for you not to start behaving that way. If you see this, you just say, you know, that's outrageous. That's racially insensitive. And then just go into an acting mode and start to play it up. I can't believe these outrageously racially insensitive Jewish people right now. Look at them waving that flag. This is offensive. My gosh, what racist out there? Look at what they're doing. And then you create the dynamic slowly but surely, one by one. This doesn't happen overnight. Jews didn't do this overnight either. But it's certainly something that could be started to brought up. Again, it is the people. Jews, no matter what they think they can do, they cannot control the masses. Look, they're trying to control Gaza now. And heck, you know, there's so much tyranny by the Jewish people now that they're shooting literally hundreds of people. They've wounded tens of thousands of people since March. Think about that. Tens of thousands of people. But the people will not be cowed. And they're bringing it to American shores. They're bringing it to British shores equally. Imagine the stupidity of doing something like this so that it gives people like me a chance to talk about the cruel nature of Jewish people. I mean, because I'm not the one jailing you because you did something. Oh, what? You did something that I don't like, so I'm going to go jail you? Really? Do you see the difference here? There's a huge difference between what Jewish people are doing and what we are doing. We're not even in the same field. This idea that we're the ones out there to abuse people, what do you call this? What do you call that? And it's not just here in the case of the UK, but it's in America also. What a lot of people don't know is, at one hand, Jews are trying to flood the nation. They are basically acting as a fifth column enemy to the American people and working overtime to destroy the United States. And that's so clear. They're not even hiding it anymore. They openly talk about it. But they're complaining now that there's this like anti-Semitic surge in the United States. Well, gee, you know what? To the Jewish people, you got to ask these guys, how stupid do you guys have to be? You openly declare your hatred for white people. You openly declare that you want to see white people extinct. You openly declare that you want to destroy the United States. You openly brainwash our children into some of the dumbest, looniest, leftist ideologies that has ever graced the planet. You go out of your way to harass people online. You silence people through deplatforming them. You deny people even the ability to get paid through your platforms, because to me, PayPal and Facebook and Twitter, these are just extensions of Jewish power at this stage. So you take all of these things in mind, and Jews are wondering why people are getting upset with them. Again, the disconnect that I hear from the Jewish community is so far removed from reality that you have to wonder what's wrong with these people as a culture. Because what they're doing, it simply cannot go on forever, because you're going to end up with a wasteland. Literally, you'll end up with a wasteland. You're going to end up with a Cambodia. You're going to end up with a Bolshevik steps of Russia with all these. It's not going to work, folks. What they're doing here is they are urging the government to do more to combat hate crimes now. This comes out of a story from a German publication, Allgemeiner. And it says top Jewish groups are calling on the government to do more to combat hate crimes. Well, I don't see them doing a thing against all the hate from the Jewish community. Okay, let's agree with this. Okay, let's just go ahead and play devil's advocate. Why aren't we taking out every single Jewish group for all their hatred towards the rest of us? Think about it. Why is it always a one-way street? It's kind of like finding ballots, you know? Finding ballots in Florida. Why is it that all the ballots they find just happen to be for Democrats? What, you can't find a bunch like 70,000 ballots and then they're kind of like split up 50-50? It's like all for the Democrats? Well, that's kind of like how Jews are with their quote-unquote, their calls for hate speech and hate crimes. It's always about somebody else. It's never about them. They're the worst provocative, or they are the worst offenders when it comes to hate speech out there. They are the worst when it comes to abusing people by using their power to abuse people. And yet they're going to complain to us when there's a backlash. We need to just shut a deaf ear here. We need to become completely blind and deaf and mute to their complaints, because they deserve everything that comes back. The American Jewish Committee CEO David Harris said in a statement this past Wednesday, clearly current strategies are not working sufficiently. He added, the upward trend in hate crimes is deeply troubling and demands an assertive response at all levels of government in our nation, beginning with Washington. So what he's basically saying is that Jewish suppression is working, because he said it's not working sufficiently, but he's admitting that Jewish suppression of the American people is working. It is in play. It has value. It is having an effect on the American people, but it is not sufficiently tyrannical enough. It is not sufficiently oppressive enough, but it is at least working, just not sufficiently. Now, how many other groups out there are able to make the charge that the anti-Western, anti-white mentality of the Jewish community is not currently being dealt with sufficiently? Nobody's saying that, right? But they had the chutzpah to actually openly declare this. Harris noted that voluntary reporting of hate crimes to the FBI is inadequate. Oh, really? So let's go ahead and destroy our own culture just for you Jews, right? So basically, we're supposed to destroy ourselves for you Jewish people, turning ourselves into a government that you control and operate. Isn't that kind of what the Jewish people are telling us here? Harris went on to say that comprehensive data is essential to grasping the depth of the problem, to understand the sources, and there are many, of anti-Semitism and other forms of hatred that infest. Oh, there's that word infest again. This animal nature of the Jewish mind that does everything in a way that tries to suppress everything as being human and making everything out to be a disease. His very statements are a hate speech crime and should be reported, because he's saying that legitimate political counter moves to Jewish power is quote-unquote an infestation. See, they're defining the words here, but we should define the words. Folks, these are words of a population of an organization that has declared war on the American people. And they know it. That's why they're doing this. Think about it, guys. That's why they're doing it. They know they're at war. They're just afraid that people are going to start shooting back euphemistically. ADL CEO and national director, oof, he always blocks me on Twitter, but I'm blocked from Twitter now. Jonathan Greenblatt said on Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, we witnessed the most deadly anti-Semitic hate crime in American history. It was a false flag, folks. I don't think they ever produced a dead body yet. But they're using now a false flag to create what? Political oppression of the American people. And they can't do this, everyone, if they don't have control of the press, the police, the FBI, and all the other organs of government. It tells you straight up their power. So just imagine you are behind enemy lines in a battle for your own civilization and your own culture. When Jewish people talk about combating hate speech and hate crimes, they're never talking about themselves. Ever. So the more you think about this term and this phrase as you hear about it, just remember it's kind of like finding votes in a Democratic precinct after the election. It's always one way. It's never two ways. You would think that, hey, wow, we just found 70,000 new votes, and surprise, surprise, the guy that we don't want to win just got 60,000 more. You ever notice that never happens? Just keep this analogy in mind as you move forward. Another thing that's of interest to me is, of course, the media. It's not another, you know, as you guys know, the interest. I mean, I'm not so much interested in the media because I think the media, as a general rule, are unsophisticated idiots. I don't have a lot of respect for them, quite frankly. I find them to be low class, enemies of the American people. If I watch their digital media, I'm talking about television, it's disgusting. I know how mind war is working. I see how they're framing the debate and the nuance. And these are disgustingly evil people straight up when you watch what they do. We're almost dealing with demons incarnate. It's kind of that way. Maybe it's not quite that way, but in some cases, it's very much that way. And one of the things that we find, quite frankly, happening is this idea of other nations impinging or infringing on the internal workings of the United States. And it's always aimed at different parties. It's the Chinese here, it's the Russians there. But of course, within our media, which is Jewish controlled, it's never about the Jewish people themselves, who are the primary. Really, they're the primary people engaged in destroying our country and impinging upon American values and rights. And there was, of course, all of this issue surrounding Palestine. And last week, we had a case where the Israelis, being the thugs that they are, because they are thugs, they went into Gaza. They assassinated somebody in Gaza. They were caught. There was a shootout. One Jew was killed, unfortunately. Perhaps if you're Palestinian, you wish the entire operation would have been wiped out. It was a military project. The Israelis had to send in ground support aircraft to try to help extract these idiots, basically these Jewish thugs, these organized criminal terrorists that are the IDF. And you ended up having a huge amount of fire going on back and forth between the parties. Well, the New York Times, they kept editing their stories about this issue. And they kept editing it because the Israelis were telling them to do it. They bombed a TV station. Okay, you just lost a commando, basically a criminal thug who participated in going into an area to kill somebody. And your response is to go kill a bunch of innocent people sitting inside of a television studio. Yeah, real brave, you Jews. Very brave. You sound like the American military sometimes, but then again, we know the American military is run by you guys. And the way they shot it back is if the terrorist propaganda TV station of a genocidal terrorist group, oh, give us a freaking break already, you morons. Why shouldn't that person be arrested? Doesn't that language sound provocative? Doesn't that language sound outrageous? Doesn't that language sound like it's intended to insult and assault our senses? So shouldn't we just be arresting Jews for their language now? See, you say, oh, no, Fetch, but that's exactly what they're proposing for you and for our families and everybody else. I know it's an absurdity, but what can I say? I mean, that's how the game is being played by the Jewish community. I mean, in Israel in New York tweets out here again, a genocidal terrorist group like Hamas is your source of news. We understand exactly what sort of journalists you are. Well, first of all, if you're getting your news from you Jews, well, we get it equally. There's no more greater enemy of the American people than the Jewish press. None. So should we be arresting all Jews in the press right now? Because isn't their behavior outrageous? Isn't their behavior egregious? Isn't it outlandish? Isn't it intended to stoke racial hatreds and racial insecurities out there? See, it's just a dumb policy now. We've basically digressed to Jewish idiocy, that of a lower level, subhuman type of mentality that doesn't understand Western values, that treats everything as if everybody is children and they can do whatever they want to children because, hey, that's what pedophiles do. Kind of how you might want to start looking about it. In July, this particular reporter, I think Nashon, I'm not sure who Nashon is, he lashed out at CNN. He's an Israeli. To stop your manipulation, saying that they got it wrong and not for the first time. In other words, the Israelis constantly monitor their own press inside of America and try to impose upon that press a purely pro-Jewish, anti-American, quite frankly, editorial view. Let's see. What else is kind of news out there? You know, the Khashoggi story. I haven't read too much about the Khashoggi story a little bit, but the Khashoggi story continues to develop. They say that 19 people are going to be tried, or 17 people are going to be tried for this murder. Five of those are going to be asked to take the death sentence. There is supposed to be complete exoneration of the crown prince here. What else? And it seems like the Americans are deep in this a little bit more. Probably Kushner's deep into it. And in order to assuage the Turks, they look like they might give up this Gulen guy or Gulen guy who has run all of these religious schools. So there's now talk of a deal to give Gulen to Erdogan, to Turkey, as part of a deal to assuage this diplomatic intrigue going behind the scenes. So stay tuned for that. It's going to get pretty nasty, it sounds, as this thing moves forward. Let's see, Inside the Eye Live, again, prime time, Thursday, November the 15th, 2018. You can always give us a call again, 323-1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. And, of course, that gets you in the door. We got going into a break now. So that's the Fetch again. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. Prime time again. It's Thursday, but it's really Friday for yours truly, as it's getting like 3:29 in the morning here. Whew, it's a long day, man. Really, it's a long day. I think I started my day, though, kind of late, 4 o'clock. Not 4 o'clock. I think I got up. I got to bed like at 4:50 in the morning this morning, yesterday morning. And then I think I got up at about 10:30. and kind of been going all day since, but it's just been a long week, you know, just no time to myself like before. Just not like before. I used to have a lot of time. You know, it's an interesting statement here, and it's actually well written. And it has to deal with this idea called hate speech. You know, hate speech was created really to control free speech. Let's be honest. There is no such thing as hate speech. This is basically anytime you hear a Jewish person using the term, all that Jewish person and again, all the leftist dinglings equally, all they're really trying to do is control free speech. And the problem is not with the Nazis or the anti-Semites and all of this type of issue. The problem is really is that you are not nowadays allowed to even use speech to engage people peacefully anymore. You can't provide evidence. You cannot provide facts for your argument. So even if the best way to present an argument in an attempt to express your ideas or point of view is by being civil, you're not allowed to be civil anymore. Rushing in and calling people names like Nazi and anti-Semite is not really the way to go at this within the Jewish community, save one issue. Our points are superior to Jewish points. Our logic is superior to Jewish points. Our knowledge is superior to Jewish knowledge. Everything about what we are doing is superior. We're not jealous because of Jewish success now. As you notice, in the early days, Jews would isolate people. They would ban them. They would target them. They would sometimes destroy them. And then they would have the gall to goad them and say, oh, you're just jealous of our success. No, it's not a jealousy of your success. It's an anger and an indignation at the unfairness upon which the Jewish community operates. That's the truth of the matter. The real issue here is to prevent violence, theoretically. But Jews know that their entire tactic promotes violence. Hence, they want to take away your guns. They want to take away your ability to defend yourself. Everything that Jews are doing right now is geared to destroying civil discourse. Now, the real issue and cause for violence then is not the speech itself. It's really directly related to or in proportion to the amount of tyranny upon which Jews take away free speech. The more people are stripped of their ability to speak with rational and reasoned arguments, well, the more prone the situation will be that they will resort to violence and fisticuffs. The problem is not all of these social media companies like a Gab or a BitChute. The problem is all of those companies and people who are advocating for silencing our freedom of expression. They are the problem. What they want to do is leave people defenseless. You don't have the ability to reason your way with these folks. You don't have a way to talk. And then they want to disarm you in the process equally. All of these issues are counterproductive, but you cannot tell an idiot that. It's simply not possible. I'll tell you, these people. I got the Marine story out of the way. You know, the story out in California is very tragic. You know, you got a lot of stories like people are talking about directed energy weapons and things like that. And, you know, I would not harbor that this is unlikely. In fact, if the technology is available, I think somebody would use it, certainly. I'm not sure it's available yet, but I certainly won't discount it. Quite frankly, I'm around the military a lot. I know what they can do. So if there's something in the black ops world that the military doesn't have yet, I don't know about that. I do know what the militaries have, and at least what they have publicly. So if something's out of the black ops world, I don't know. Maybe there is some DEW going on. Certainly whatever took the World Trade Center down pulverized all of that concrete and steel to absolute dust particles. So something brought it down, right? But in California, you've got these wildfires, and they were quite massive. And so far, very tragic coming out of the north. 56 people are dead. 130 people are still missing. And the National Guard, they've been brought in yesterday to start to search the area called Paradise, California, which is obviously not paradise too much anymore. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke joined Governor Jerry Brown on a visit to the town of Paradise, and he told reporters it was the worst fire devastation he had ever seen. And then he said, now is not the time to point fingers. There are lots of reasons these catastrophic fires are happening. He cited warmer temperatures, dead trees, and poor forest management. Well, what he didn't talk about was California squandering enormous amounts of money protecting an illegal invasion force. Literally. That's not brought up. And that's why he says now is not the time to point fingers. Because quite frankly, the resources that are available to California, it's a very rich state, are being spent in ways that only harm the nation and the state of California. You don't have these fires, perhaps, if you invest a little bit more in infrastructure, if you provide the ability for companies to work in perhaps a little bit saner way, because they can. The issue should be falling straight on the governor himself. He should resign. Literally. Those responsible for fire management in California should resign. That's what happens in other countries, folks. In Jordan recently, there were some floods. And 12 people were killed. Another one, 11 people were killed. The person responsible for these issues tendered his resignation. See, in America, we have a bunch of idiotic, quite frankly, incompetent buffoons granted hundreds of thousands of dollars to basically do nothing. And when their nothingness is exposed, they just ride out there, trot in front of the cameras as if somehow they're not responsible. They are. And even if they are not, they should be taking responsibility like every other nation does. Literally, in any other country, folks, that's what they would do. These people would be tendering their resignations and they would be absolutely accepted because the results are completely unacceptable. There should not be a government official in California responsible in these areas who should be standing right now. Every single one of them should be out of a job. Not a one should have a job. Not Governor Jerry Brown, not this Interior Secretary, not a single person should be standing. They have clearly failed in their duties within the state of California. That's the difference, folks, between a healthy country, a healthy government, and one that absolutely is incompetent and doesn't care about its people. Why has nobody resigned? That's what I want to know. You got 56 people dead, another 130 missing, over 8,800 structures lost, and not one of these people have taken responsibility. Not one. Quite frankly, that's egregious. That's outrageous. Why has not something been done? To the Jewish community, it's more important to jail somebody making a German National Socialist Roman-type salute than it is to actually take care of the land. Because Jews are not a part of the land, folks. The capital goes to whatever they want, and that is for the destruction of the American people. Brown, of course, Governor Brown in California, has been a critic of President Donald Trump's policies, but look, dude, these are your policies. Trump has nothing to do with running California. Why have you not resigned? It's quite devastating, obviously. Brown is saying that officials would need to learn how to better prevent fires from becoming so deadly. No, these people need to be fired, Brown. They need to resign. Again, there's no reason one of them should stand after this. That is their job. It is their full-time job. They are paid to do this, and they failed, period. They failed. 8,800 homes are destroyed. literally destroyed. A city burned off the map. Not wiped off the map, but burned off the map. 27,000 people now with nowhere to go. 461 plus searchers are combining with 22 cadaver dogs to try to find those who are missing. And to me, not a single person has resigned. Again, that's the difference between a healthy government and one that is corrupt and rotten to the core. Somebody should have taken responsibility. Kind of some problems over in Israel. I'm not sure what's kind of going on here, but there's some governing problems here. Two things. Is one is you got this Iron Dome system. You notice we are giving these clowns over in Israel $800 million. $800 million. Well, you think that we don't want to give it to Brown because Brown would just give it to all of his illegal immigrant lackeys here. But you think we couldn't have done a better fire management job with $800 million? You think we wouldn't be able to manage our force a little bit better if we had $5 billion that really actually $28 billion that's siphoned out of America every year to go to these clowns, literally these failures over in Israel called Jews. They're failures, quite frankly, folks. Don't assume they're successful. Cut all funding to these people and see how fast they shrivel up and die. Just watch. They deserve it. They shouldn't have an ounce. They should not have a penny from the American people. Watch how much they shrivel up and die if that happens. Watch. Anyways, actually, their banks would probably just cut them a bunch of checks and then they'd ask the American people to fund it secretly. But you have an Israeli prime minister. He's now scrambling. You've got two things. Actually, you've got the Brexit. Let me go over to Brexit. Maybe I got the Brexit deal here. You know, Brexit is a big deal. In the UK. And what a lot of people don't know about the UK is it is run by a minority government right now. It's a minority government. It is run by a Prime Minister, May, who has really, to me at least, shown that she is a completely incompetent, incapable politician. She was not elected. She has absolutely no mandate. Literally, she's in a minority coalition government. She has no mandate from the people. She was appointed, and she's basically lording over the Brexit situation without a mandate in a minority government, and she's completely incompetent. She's a buffoon. And the British people, like we here, we can never seem to get rid of our buffoons. I think, you know, if you go back 400 years, they would have just hung these people. They wouldn't have waited around so long, quite frankly. They probably just would have hung the people. Let's see if I can get this thing to work here. Yeah, there it is. I can't see the mouse. And I don't have my touch screen because it's carbon. It's broken. There it is. This is in the House of Lords today, or the House of Commons today, in the UK, about this Brexit deal that Ms. May, Prime Minister May, delivered to the government. And needless to say, the UK right now today is absolutely in uproar. We've had a couple ministers. I've already tendered resignations. And a government that is absolutely in chaos in the UK. So let's give this little play here and we can talk a little bit about this one for sure.
Are you going to be able to get your deal through?
She just got news of a second cabinet resignation as she left Number 10. The Brexit Secretary, Dominic Raab, told her last night he couldn't stay in the government. And then she was off to Parliament.
The Prime Minister!
To defend a deal which MP after MP told her was already a lost cause.
The government simply cannot put to Parliament this half-baked deal that both the Brexit Secretary and his predecessor have rejected.
The Prime Minister comes before us today trying to sell us a deal that is already dead in the water.
So it's quite clear she cannot command the House of Commons on these proposals.
It will be blindingly obvious to the entire country that the Prime Minister's deal cannot pass this House.
Theresa May ignored those challenges but acknowledged the backstop arrangement she'd produced yesterday was a compromise that left even her uncomfortable.
I do not pretend that this has been a comfortable process or or that either we or the EU are entirely happy with all of the arrangements that have been included within it. But of course this is the case. This is an arrangement that we have both said we never want to have to use.
She faced a bruising question from the DUP, sounding like a party on the point of withdrawing its support for the government.
I could today stand here and take the Prime Minister through the list of promises and pledges that she made to this House and to us privately about the future of Northern Ireland in the future relationship with the EU. But I fear it would be a waste of time since she clearly doesn't listen.
Mr. Jacob Rees-Mogg.
And then, as if she didn't have enough drama in her life, a threat by the leader of the Brexiteer hardliners to write letters to the chairman of the 1922 committee, sitting screen top right, demanding a vote of no confidence in her leadership.
My right honourable friend said that we would be out of the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice. Article 174 says otherwise. As what my right honourable friend says and what my right honourable friend does no longer match, should I not write to my right honourable friend, the member for Altrincham and Sale West?
Her answer was never going to move him. Jacob Rees-Mogg and some of his faction sent in those letters demanding a vote of no confidence, hoping they can defeat her and get one of their own to number 10.
You've got...
Yeah, see, the problem in the UK right now is you've got a government that is focused on two major issues. One is smashing the anti-Semitism. Really what it is smashing anything that is running counter to Jewish policies. The other is this Brexit idea, which, of course, is a break from the EU, the European Union, and it is being, again, negotiated by a minority government led by an appointed, non-mandate-driven, incompetent prime minister who doesn't have a clue, quite frankly, based on everything you watch over the years. She doesn't have a clue how to negotiate, and she doesn't have a clue even what she's doing. Her team is a failure. The idea of the people calling for Brexit to get out in the UK was seen as a victory by putting in a minority government, by putting in this absolutely incompetent, non-mandated prime minister. Time has been lost, and it continues to be lost. And the best thing that this stupid moron called May, Theresa May, could come up with is nothing but an uproar in her own House of Commons when she delivers her final product. Quite frankly, you got a feel for the British just as you got a feel for the rest of us across the West, unless you're in Eastern Europe, because it continues to get worse and worse for a lot of us. We've had a problem, not a problem, it's perhaps a good thing, but one of the most vile people in really planet Earth, perhaps, and certainly within Israel, is this guy by the name of Lieberman. This guy is... I probably evil incarnate would be a nice way to talk about him. He leads a faction called Israel Beiteinu, something like that. And he resigned on Wednesday, yesterday, in protest of Netanyahu's capitulation to terror. Basically, it boils down to this. The Jewish people want war. The Jewish people want to kill people. They want to kill as many people as they can, as fast as they can. That's the truth of the Israeli people. They are all in to this idea of we need to kill everybody. We need to commit genocide. That's who you support when you support the Israelis. Now, Lieberman's description of the Gaza ceasefire reached after this week regards it as capitulation to terror. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to see all aid cut to the Israeli government. Israel is a fake nation. It does not have a border. If it doesn't have a border, it's not a nation. It's just as Trump says, look, if you don't have a border, you don't have a nation. And right now, the Israelis don't have a border. So why are we giving money to a people who don't even have a country, who maintain to this day a colonial status with the trappings of state? They act as if they're a state. And for some stupid reason, people treat them like they're a state. But they're not a state. Where's their... They don't have... I swear, they don't have a constitution. And they don't have a border. So what do you want? This is not a government by normal international standards. And everybody is treating them like, oh, you guys are the greatest thing since sliced cheese. The reality is, folks, is they don't have a functioning government. They don't have a functioning nation. It's nothing but a rogue terrorist. It's basically a bunch of terrorists camping out on a bunch of land. Other than that, there's nothing much to it. It's just take away all of the money they steal from everybody around the world, and you don't have even you have nothing. You'd have destitution. Already, it's already you go down a little bit lower into Israeli society, and it's like America. It's pretty destitute. And if we weren't giving them $28,000 per person in subsidies, they would really not be able, and they can't manage now. Now, there's an anonymous source in Netanyahu's Likud party. He told Yediot, there is no need for elections in the midst of a sensitive security situation. The government can finish its term. In any case, at the moment, the defense portfolio will become Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's responsibility. So Netanyahu now has two portfolios. He's the prime minister of Israel, and he is the defense minister of Israel. Now, Yariv Levin, he's a Likud minister, said our responsibility is to continue the existence of a stable right-wing government. Therefore, the resignation of the defense minister is misplaced. However, if we are to use Jewish terminology here, the quote would read something like this. Yari Levin, a Likud minister, stated, our responsibility is to continue the existence of an extremist government, a regime. Therefore, the resignation is counterproductive to us being able to continue with our extremist regime, because that's the reality of what is going on in Israel today. Now, the government is not going to fall apart, apparently, but opposition leader Zippy Livni of the center-left Zionist Union said that the government of failure should immediately go to elections. Elections are required that will bring about an emergency coalition led by the Zionist Union. But no matter where you go in Israel, there's nobody to talk peace. There's nobody with any horse sense about how to be fair about anything. They're Jews, folks. They're not fair people. You cannot deal with a sadistic, vile people and expect some type of compassion and empathy and fairness to come out the other end. It doesn't happen. So that little story, perhaps we'll be watching a little bit more. But former Prime Minister and Defense Minister Ehud Barak sounded a moderate tone, saying Lieberman's resignation showed independence and consistency. He blasted Netanyahu, however, stating that the emperor has no clothes. This is the beginning of the end. But you know what? They've been saying that it's the beginning of the end for Netanyahu for who knows how long now. And Netanyahu is probably one of the most evil people on planet Earth. Quite frankly, a very dishonest man, a corrupt man, a criminal, war criminal. To say the least, but of course, half the generals in Washington are probably classified as that part. You know, by the way, I don't know about you, but I've been like, you know, when you watch the sports on TV a little bit, and I watched a little bit, I've been really not a whole lot of time to watch these sports, but I find it rather fascinating with all of this support your troops, support your troops, support your troops. Folks, if you support your troops, get them home. Why don't you get them home to be with your loved ones, with your family? What are you doing in Syria? What are you doing in Iraq? What are you doing in Niger? What are you doing in Afghanistan? What, you don't have enough poppy? You don't have enough heroin for your CIA drug dealers? Is that the problem? Is that supporting your troops? See, the American families in Utah's, there are so many American veterans out there because we've been at war for 19 years now with no end in sight, quite frankly. No end in sight. We've blown $6 trillion, something like close to $6 trillion in the Middle East since 2003. $6 trillion. And you wonder why there's tent cities all over America. You wonder why we can't even have a sensible, rational forest management system. Of course, the Democrats are idiots anyways. No matter how much money you give them, they're not going to be able to manage it. They'll just give it to their pets. You know, they're literally their pets. They're illegal immigrants. You're not going to get a whole lot accomplished out of them, quite frankly, even if you gave it to them. But imagine what we could do. You think we could build a PayPal with $6.1 trillion? Do you think we can build a competitor to this crony Jewish organization called Facebook with $6 trillion? Do you think we can build a competitor to Twitter if we had some investors and we got some $6 trillion? See, there's lots of things we can do with this money, folks. You think we can build perhaps a little bit more infrastructure in the United States? You think we could perhaps invest money in cleaning up the environment some more and investing in technologies to clean up our environment? Do you think we could use that money to oust and investigate and oust all of these communist professors that are destroying our education system? See, money is finite. At the end of the day, if you take away not the bits and the bits, the ones and the zeros, inside of the American nation right now, in spite of all of the debt that's incurred, which is in the stratosphere, there's only about $250 billion perhaps in the nation floating, from what I hear. That's not a lot of money if you need to call in a lot of debt. Watch for these. It's The Fetch. Inside the Ally Primetime, everybody. Thanks for listening and bearing with me here. And live from Riyadh. Thanks for listening again. See you guys Saturday inside the Ally Live Prime Time, Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. And catch you then. Good night from Riyadh.